praise the Lord. That was worth the price of admission right there. No doubt about that. Praise the Lord. Thank you for that message and song. All right, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you look with me to the book of 1 Chronicles in chapter 17. 1 Chronicles, Old Testament, just right after the book of the Kings, is 1 Chronicles chapter 17. And we're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 4. So 1 Chronicles chapter 17. If you would, if you're able to, go ahead and stand. We'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 1. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass, as David sat in his house, that David said to Nathan the prophet, 'Lo, I dwell in a house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains.' Then Nathan said unto David, 'Do all that is in thine heart, for God is with thee.' And it came to pass the same night that the word of God came to Nathan, saying, 'Go and tell David my servant, thus saith the Lord, Thou shalt not build me an house to dwell in.'" And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you this morning, what a blessing it's already been just being in your house, sensing your presence in this place. God, I pray for all that have assembled themselves together here this morning, and you know exactly what's taken place in each one of our lives. God, I pray that you would help each one to be aware of your presence. I pray that you'd help each one to surrender their will, to be open to hearing from you, being able to receive that which you have for us. I pray, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I'd like to preach a message to you this morning that I've just entitled, and it's David's response to a no from God. David's response to a no from God. If you don't realize this already, and most of us do, but the human nature does not want to be told no. I don't know that there's anybody, if they're honest, would be saying, "I love to be told no." Every time I've got a decision, every time I have a desire, I want somebody to tell me, "No, I can't do it, I can't have it." The human nature does not like to be told no. It's clearly seen in how children respond. It really is. The human nature, I mean, you can see it raw in a child. Most, when you tell them no, they just act like you don't exist. "You surely can't be telling me no, for I'm doing what I want to do. I don't hear you." Yeah. After you do get their attention and you're letting them know that you're speaking to that child and you say to that child no again, then there's going to respond either one or two ways, and that's going to tell you what you're in for the rest of their life. The one response is that they'll start crying and look pitiful and attempting to get you to say yes because you feel sorry for me. And those little eyes with big tears in it looking up at Dad saying, "Surely you want me to have what I want to have. And you're going to tell me yes." The other response is to throw a temper tantrum and say, "I'm going to hold my breath, and until you tell me yes, I'm going to die." That stubborn will, amen. And then that one that just wants you to feel sorry for them, thinking they can go through life getting people to say yes to them through sympathy, amen. That's a human nature. That's a human nature. It's seen in children. Well, we find here that David desired to do a good thing. In verse 1 it says, "Now it came to pass as David sat in his house, that David said to Nathan the prophet, 'Lo, I dwell in the house of cedars.'" Look what I have. Almighty God has blessed me. I was a shepherd boy living in amongst the sheep. Now I am the king of the most powerful nation on planet Earth. And I live in a mansion. This mansion built with cedars. And we've not done anything for the ark, which represented the presence of God. It was still in a tabernacle or in a tent. I dwell in a house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains. David desired to do a good thing. It was in his heart. He was even encouraged by a misguided, uninformed, so-called man of God or prophet. Because then Nathan said unto David, "Do all that is in thine heart, for surely your heart will not lead you in a wrong direction. Do all that is in thine heart, for God is with thee." Be careful. Be careful when you tell somebody, "I know this to be God's will," and yet you really don't know it to be God's will. David was a man after God's own heart. No better person in the Bible for God to give us this understanding of a biblical principle concerning our heart and our heart's desires. He was a man after God's own heart, according to Acts chapter 13, verse 22. In the Bible, in Psalms chapter 37 and verse 4, the Bible says this, "Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Delighting yourself in the Lord, that means you're looking to him. As you're looking to him, you're wanting God's will in your life, and as long as you believe it to be God's will for your life, then you can look for and have a desire, and God wants to give you the desire of your heart as long as it aligns with his will. Yeah. In 1 Timothy in chapter 3, and let me just read it to you, you know the passage very well, as God gives instructions for those two positions in the church, the position of a pastor and the position of a deacon, two highly presented positions in the church that God has established. And the Bible says here, and before he gives the qualifications, he says in chapter 3 and verse 1, this is a true saying, if a man desire, I believe it has to start there. If you're going to serve the Lord, it has to come from your heart. It has to be a desire. If you're going to get saved, can I tell you, it first of all starts with a desire in your heart to want to have what God wants you to have, and that's everlasting life. A desire to receive Jesus Christ. No one has ever been forced to be saved. But it begins with a desire from your heart not to go to a devil's hell, but to have the gift of everlasting life, wanting to go to a place that God has prepared for all of those who would look to him. A place of heaven. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to have a desire to want to be a pastor, a good thing to have a desire to want to serve God. A heart's desire may be good, but it does not make it God's will. Not necessarily. Because right after he said that, then he gives a list of qualifications. And he says in verse 2, a bishop then must be. Along with a desire, you have to have these qualifications. If you do not have these qualifications, and he makes a list of those, then even though you might have a desire, it is not God's will for your life. Just because it might even seem to be a good thing to us and it might be the desires of our heart, that doesn't necessarily mean that it is God's will for your life. God uses David. What an example. I don't think that anyone could say that I have a heart that desires more of the will of God than what David would have. Verse 3 and 4, if you go back to our text, and that's what we're looking at here, the desires of our heart, and but yet David's response to a no from God. He, in his mind and in his own heart, he could not imagine this not being God's will. And not only could he not imagine it, but the prophet Nathan, who had been used by God in numerous occasions in David's life, he even would say to David, hey, you're a good man, you're a great king. If it's in your heart, how can it not be God's will? And the Bible says, and Nathan said unto David, do all that is in thy heart, for God is with thee. Well, David desired a good thing. The second thing that I want to present to you this morning is God will work to let us know his will if we'll listen. That child, they don't want to listen if it's a no. You have to force them to listen. And you might even try to give them an understanding of why I said no. But they have to listen to understand it and to accept it into their life as your will. So we find here in verse 3, the Bible says, and it came to pass after David said, I'm going to do this, and after Nathan said, do that, God speaks. Because God wants us to know his will. It's not some kind of a mystery that you have to go through and seeking after and find and try. No, God wants you to know his will. And it came to pass the same night that the word of God came to Nathan the prophet saying, go and tell David, my servant, thus saith the Lord, because you didn't do it the first time. Thou shalt not build me a house to dwell in. Nathan was immediately sent back to tell David. Sorry. I spoke too soon. I messed up. I'm coming back to you, I know what I said to start with, but it's just what I had in my heart. God has now revealed to me what his will is for your life. See, Nathan first spake as a man and not as a messenger of God. Too often we do that. We speak to others, sometimes even our children, our spouses, our friends. We give them counsel based on our thinking, based on our philosophies, and not the actual words of God. His counsel came from his heart. It's what he wanted for David, but it was not necessarily God's will. I found in the 40 years of ministry, it might be in my heart, but it's not necessarily God's will when I counsel people. I have to be careful because, can I tell you, I never counsel divorce. Not because I don't want to tell you, leave that rotten individual, he's no good for you. There have been many times in my office and I understand what's going on and this and that and whatever. Now, listen to me. It is never God's will for anybody to submit themselves to an abuse. It is not God's will for you to stay in an abusive situation, but can I tell you, it is the will of God that you reconcile any marriage. It's never God's will for a divorce, although because it takes two to make any relationship what God wants us to be, divorce is going to be inevitable. One person cannot sustain a marriage. It takes two people in a marriage to make the marriage what God wants it to be. And God wants to work on each one to get them to surrender to His will. And if both of you surrender to God's will, you can work it out and you can make it through whatever the difficult situations might be. And you can have the marriage that is that God can bless. But it takes two. I've sat across from many, and I want to, in my heart, I'm saying, no, divorce that individual, divorce it. But I cannot give my heart's counsel because there's something that is far greater than my heart's desire and my heart's counsel, and that is the very words of God. So I never counsel divorce. I don't do it because I know what the Bible says. Not because I wouldn't want to. Not because I hadn't even had the heart desire to tell them. But I know what the Word of God is. And God's Word is more powerful than whatever I would say. People do not need the counsel of man. They do not need the philosophies of men. They need the Word of God. I don't counsel to seek revenge. Although there have been many a time I'm thinking, pour scalding hot water on his head while he's asleep. Yeah. Show him. Make him fear you. Yeah. And can I tell you, honestly, in my heart, I'm thinking, yeah, if you would do something like that, it might change the circumstances. He might not be as apt to treat you that way, whatever it might be. But that's not the words of God. And you will never come out on top of whatever the circumstances by doing it your way. God blesses His word. So I never counsel, seek revenge. Yeah. I never counsel to disrespect authority. But in my heart, amen. There's many times I'm thinking, yeah. Don't listen to anything that they say. I mean, just write them out of your life. Whether it be parents, whether it be government officials, whoever it might be. Honor authority. That's the counsel of God. So we need to be careful. God's given us an example here of King David and David's counselor. How that David in his heart's desire wanted to do a good thing, but it was not God's will. It was not the best thing to do. Even David's counselor supported him in doing whatever his heart's desire, but even Nathan had to go back and say, I messed up. I know I told you it was God's will, but that's not God's will. He has revealed it to me. I've studied the scriptures, and this is God's will for your life. This is what God says. So we find here that God's message to David from Nathan now, verse 7 down to verse 12. Now therefore, thus shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, even from following the sheep, that thou shouldest be ruler over my people Israel. That's what I've done for you. Now, I want you to go back and understand my plan for your life. When you didn't ever believe that you could to excel to the place that I've placed you, you had no idea as a shepherd that you would be the king of Israel. I had a plan for your life, and I worked my plan for your life. I took you beyond your even highest expectations and imaginations on where you could be. See, God's helping David to see, I'm telling you no, but I have a plan. See, God already had a plan for building his house. And that's what David would have to see in order to go forward with God's will for his life. I have been with thee whithersoever thou hast walked, and have cut off thine enemies from before thee, and have made thee a name like the name of the great men that are in the earth. When you didn't even realize I was working, I was working. You're alive today because I've kept you alive. Every one of us, we're alive today because God has kept us alive. He said here also, I will ordain a place for my people Israel and will plant them, and they shall dwell in their place and shall be moved no more, neither shall the children of wickedness waste them any more as at the beginning. He said, I've got a plan for Israel. And since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, moreover, I will subdue all thine enemies. Furthermore, I tell thee that the Lord will build thee a house. God, I built your house, David. You're living in a mansion. You're living in the king's palace that I have given you. Verse 11. And it shall come to pass, when the days be expired, that thou must go to be with thy fathers, when you die, David, that I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom, Solomon. Verse 12. He shall build me an house, and I will establish his throne forever. Can I tell you that God's plan was greater than David's heart's desire? David's response. It's hard to be told no. Listen to me, Christian. It's hard to be told no. Listen, in your life, look back, what God has done in your life, what God will do in your life. Can I tell you that Almighty God, we serve a sovereign God. We serve a God that has a plan for our lives. He wants to give us the desires of our heart, but when the desires of our heart does not align with his will for our lives, his plan for our lives, then listen to me, he's going to tell us no. David's response is something that all of us need to learn from. And the most important thing about David's response, he listened. Verse 16 down to all the end of the chapter there, verse 27, he listened to what God had to say to him through the prophet Nathan. He listened. David is the king of Israel. He had already got the okay from Nathan the first time. He could have stopped Nathan and said, I'm king. I can build it if I want to. Can I tell you that we should never force our will, especially when God is telling us no. It might be a no to marriage. That no to marriage might not be never get married. It might just be no to the individual you're thinking about marrying. Because that's not my will for your life. I've got something better planned for your life. It could be, but in our own hearts and minds, we've already chosen this individual. And instead of listening to God and turning away from the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and we just forced our way through, and I'm going to marry this individual because I want to marry this individual, and I can do it if I want to do it. And you can. But I've seen so many that have forced it only to regret the decision and end up more miserable than ever thought they could be. Could be a no to marriage. Could be a no to healing. The Apostle Paul prayed three times, and I believe it's three seasons of prayer, to heal me. And God's answer was no. My plan is better than your desire for healing. My plan will keep you where I need you to be to accomplish everything I have for you to accomplish in your life. It could be that God's saying no to healing because he has a plan for you with whatever it is, that pain, that sickness, that whatever it might be. And you're, instead of listening to God, and so many do this, they go after a healing all around the world to whatever kind of miracle cure is available, and they end up wasting all of their money and all of their goods only to come back to find out there's no healing. It might be your heart's desire that God would take something away. He would heal. He would do this. But God, as you're praying for it and seeking God's will, if he says no, listen to him. It might be that you're wanting to make a decision to move. You're wanting to make a decision to take your family and go somewhere else and do something else, change a career, whatever it might be. Listen to me. God has a perfect will for our lives, and his plan is better than our plan. And so when God tells you no, listen to God. Don't try to force it. Don't go opposite God's plan. So David's response, he listened. Go back with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 17. And in listening, this is what David ended up saying after Nathan told him exactly what God had for Nathan to say to him, helping him to understand that God has had a plan for Israel. God has a plan for the building of the temple. God has a plan for David's life. God has a plan for all things. Verse 23, the Bible says this. David said, "Therefore now, Lord, let the thing that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house be established forever, and do as thou hast said." Let it be established that thy name may be magnified forever, saying, "The Lord of hosts is the God of Israel, even a God to Israel." Not only is he the God of Israel, when you make him your God, then allow him to direct you as your God. If you really are, if you're wanting God to be your God, you have to let God be God in your life. That means let God tell you what his will is for your life. Let God lead, guide, and direct you. Let God's word help you. The Lord of hosts is the God of Israel, even a God to Israel. David listened. Can I tell you, as we listen to God, the first thing that we have to consider when making decisions, when we're looking to find out, is this just a desire in my heart, or is it God's will? Has God put this desire in my heart? Is it His word? The first thing is, God will never lead you opposite His word. You always look to the word of God, and many times just the word of God will help you to see, no, it is not the direction according to what God has for your life, according to His will for your life, His commands for your life. It is not God's will. God will not lead you opposite, first of all, His word. Once we looked and we have the word of God down, you know, it's not going opposite, but is it interpretation of the word? Have I interpreted it right for my life? Which only can come by way of prayer and fasting. Spending time with God, let the Spirit of God lead you to make sure that whatever decisions you're making is not just a desire, is not coming from your will, but it is the will of God for your life. Have you really spent enough time in prayer? Have you used the extension of prayer that God gives us, and that extension is called fasting? Have you used the tools that God has given to you to know what is His will for your life? Have you given that much concern? Or you just say, no, He's not talking to me. It's what I want to do. And the human nature says, you can't tell me no. I'm going to do what I want to do. You can. But it's opposite. Could be opposite God's will. You need to seek the godly counsel that God has commanded us to seek. And a multitude of counselors are safety. Where no counsel is, people fall. God has put people in your life to help you. Take advantage of a godly parent. Take advantage of a pastor of your church. Take advantage of the positions that God has established and brought into your life to help you to know the will of God. Yeah. Not only did David listen, David accepted it. He accepted a no from God. And he wasn't bitter over it. Some people accept it, they think they accept it, and then they live a life of bitterness because, God, you didn't let me do what I want to do. He accepted it, and the last thing, he supported it. In closing, look over to 1 Chronicles chapter 22. 1 Chronicles chapter 22. David's response to a no from God. Yeah. It was in his heart. He was just following the desires of his heart. He got the original approval from an uninformed prophet. Then he listened to God. He accepted it from God. In chapter 22 and verse 5, look right here. And David said to Solomon, my son. And David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender. And the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent. Of fame and of glory throughout all countries. Well, he's accepted it. He's excited about it. I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. He listened, he accepted it, and he supported it. He said, God, your will, not my will. God, you know more than I do. And God, now that I understand it, now that you've revealed it to me, I know your will. I know that you have a plan for all things. I am in support of it, and I'm going to do all that I can to make it as easy for Solomon to build the temple as I can. How are you handling a no? How are you handling it? Are you ignoring it? Are you throwing a temper tantrum? Are you trying to get a yes through sympathy? Now, let's look to God. Let's listen to God's plan. Let's accept it and support it. God's will for your life as I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. God's going to tell us no from time to time, but it's for our own good. God's going to tell us no so that we might seek His will and understand His will. How are you handling a no from the Lord? Father, we bow before you now. We do love you. Thank you, Lord, for what we've already received in being in church today. As we look to your servant David, and what a great example to learn from, this principle of not forcing our will, but God being aware of your will. And I pray this morning, God, first of all, there might be somebody here that is lost. They've been trying to convince themselves that they're good enough to go to heaven. But yet you tell us that there's only one plan that you have. I pray that that individual would see that clearly this morning and come and yield to your plan. Be saved today. There's others, Lord God, that are making decisions that are not within your will. And I pray, God, that they would be more apt to listen and to do as you would have them to do, not to force their will. Whatever the circumstances might be, and however you want to use this message, I pray that you would use it and help each one of us to look to apply it to our own individual lives. I pray that there would be decisions made that would actually change lives today. For this we ask in Jesus' name.